This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I definitely don't think we've set any kind of a record for consecutive minutes or hours talking about hockey on this show. We've done entire days, entire weeks. You got to go back a long time to find entire days and weeks, but it's happened. But today has been a very hockey-centric day. I'm hoping tonight's game delivers something along the lines of what Saturday's did so that we can get a whole nother day out of it tomorrow. I would love it. I love being able to talk hockey and actually get calls from fans who feel somewhat as passionately about it as I do. I know Paul Hamilton is like-minded. Paul is already on the docket for tomorrow at 4, but he joins me right now to preview tonight's Canada-USA Four Nations face-off finale and also talk a little bit about the Sabres who were back at work earlier this week. Paul's on the Western Hotline right now. P. Ham, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Bulldog, I remember when you used to talk about hockey in a whole show, and for weeks there was this word. I know it's something that we're not familiar with, but there is a word in the English language called playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's when you used to talk about hockey long periods of time, but unfortunately we were young men back then.
I guess to an extent is right. It has been a while. We're working on. Really, I got to ask. It's going to be year 14, right? Is that what this is going to be?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That is. Yeah, I did not think. I don't know. 5 years ago, I did not think that they would be approaching Bills drought territory. But yet here we are, and I don't know when we're going to see the sun again.
I would have lost a lot of money the last time they're in the playoffs. If somebody would have said to me, "It's going to be 14 years before
right.
at least until you do this again," I would have bet a lot of money against that, and I'd be out a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, this tournament, Paul, has been outstanding, and it does, I think, for a lot of fans, a lot of the feedback I've gotten today is, you know, you got to go back to the 2010 Olympics with Miller and Team USA and Crosby ultimately getting the overtime winner on him in that tournament in Vancouver. The following spring, the Sabres are in the playoffs for the last time. Like, that's a long time ago, too, and that's where you got to dip into, I think, to find, for me anyway, and I think a lot of this audience today has felt similarly. You got to go back that far to have this much anticipation for a hockey game, because this thing is really captured a lot of people's imaginations.
I would agree, and we're going to get this now every 2 years, whether it's the Olympics or a tournament such as the Four Nations. And you know, I even go back, because you're right as far as that Miller Crosby game. And Miller was just lights out. It seemed like he was going to steal the gold medal for Team USA the way he was playing. Best hockey I'd ever seen him play. And unfortunately, in overtime, it didn't go his way. But, I got to go back to, those those series and for Canada and Russia and, you know, Lemieux and Gretzky playing on the same line together. And, I mean, those – the anticipation with those were just insane. The hockey that was played and, you know, the grudge matches that were played in those. And Team USA was a part of that. But until Mike Richter won that one series for Team USA – you know, they were always kind of the back seat, you know, and then, you know, Richter came to life and Team USA was able to win that one. And now it's basically whenever it does happen, you know, it's been fairly even.
What I think stands out now, Paul, as opposed to that 96 series, I mean, there are plenty of Hall of Famers on that Team USA roster that beat Canada in that best of three series. But I feel like right now, I would still give the edge to the very high end of the Canadian roster. MacKinnon and McDavid and Makar, I think, are better, you know, bigger stars, just better players overall than the very best on Team USA, but the margin is much slimmer than it was back then to me. Like, I can match the very top end of the roster, you know, decently enough with Matthews and Jack Eichel and Jack Hughes and even Quinn Hughes, who's not there, but if he were, I imagine he'll be along for the Olympics, provided he's healthy. Like, that's, to me, the big gap closer, is that the very high end of the rosters are similar enough now, I think.
They're similar enough, but they still can't. I don't even think they can come close to McDavid and Crosby, even Crosby now, and MacKinnon and Makar. It's just, they are just, I think they are, I don't know if I want to say quite a bit. I stopped, but I don't think I want to say that, but I think they're significantly enough. I think where the roster gets evened up is in goal. Connor Hellebuck arguably is the best goaltender in hockey. And Jordan Binghamton's not even close. So he has won a cup, which Hellebuck has not done. So Binghamton is capable of stealing a game for you. He did that for the St. Louis Blues when they went from last place in the National Hockey League in January to winning the Stanley Cup. But since, you know, those couple of years where he played really well for St. Louis, it hasn't gone as well. But he certainly is capable of stealing a game for you, and I think that's what he would have to do, because I think the gap in goal is even bigger than the gap at the high end of the roster.
I would say, I was talking to Joe Yurton an hour ago, Paul, and my observation was, I think, I don't know about Swayman on this roster, but Thatcher Demko, certainly if he's healthy and is in that three hole, like I like all three U.S. goalies better than any of the Canadian goalies.
Yeah, Swayman, if he's playing like he did last year.
Right.
Is definitely, you know, a good, you know, he's right up there with Ottinger and Hellebuck, but I still don't think he's quite as good, and I don't think Demko is either. But, you know, where's Canada? You know, Canada's the only roster that has won the Stanley Cup in goal, and they got two of them.
Right.
But I'd take Ottinger and Hellebuck over Hill and Binghamton any day of the week. I mean,
100%.
Even though those two have won cups.
Talking with Paul Hamilton here. He's on the West Hur Hotline. The finale of the Four Nations face-off goes tonight a little bit after 8 o'clock on ESPN. Paul, do you have any, I don't know, concern? I don't know that, I don't imagine you're concerned about it, but so much attention, so much hype. The casual sports fan, I think, has been pulled under the big top here in a way that doesn't happen that often for hockey. Do you have any thought about whether this game can actually live up to it? Because I think there's very high expectations for, you know, a very, very, you know, exciting, scintillating game.
I think absolutely it can, because, you know, you just talked about the one that absolutely lived up to it when we're talking about you know, Miller and Crosby in there and the Canada Cups and everything. So I think absolutely can live up to it. And I was asked earlier today, you know, what about, you know, starting with fights and all that? I don't know what to say about that. I would say probably not, but I wouldn't be shocked if it happened again. I really wouldn't.
I would be shocked. I'll say that. But yeah, I've talked about this a few different times today, Paul. I did not see Saturday night coming from a mile away, let alone five. I had no idea that that was something that could happen. I hadn't even thought about it, didn't consider it for 1 second, and then it happened. I was like, oh, my God. And then, oh, my God, again. Oh, my God, times three. It was bonkers. So I wouldn't want to rule anything out, but what I've been saying most of the day here is if you're going into this game expecting that, I would bet on you being disappointed, because I think Canada is not – really, I mean, credit to them for participating, but they're not full of guys that want to send that message necessarily, I don't think. And the U.S. did what they did already. Like, they drew their line, and I don't know, the time to send a message was maybe in that game in the round robin. I'd be surprised. Certainly, you know, anything can happen once the game starts. Somebody slashes you across the hands or cross-checks you in a scrum, and maybe, you know, the emotions are so high, you get it, but something off the hop like Saturday night, I would almost definitely want to rule out myself.
Yeah, I'm not expecting it, but yet I wouldn't be surprised by it. And you saw the response you got in Montreal. Try that in Boston. The fans will be coming over the glass. I mean, they'll go absolutely wild in there if it happens. And that's why I kind of have in the back of my mind, and if you're Canada – I don't think you want to agree to it. I don't think you want to get the fans in that much of a tizzy right off the bat, as happening in Boston. So the U.S. might be up for it, but if you're Canada, I would say you probably wouldn't be a smart move to get that building even more wild than the Montreal building was, because it will be, I guarantee it.
Yeah, I think, you know, The script makes sense in hindsight, certainly looking back at it. Here's the U.S. Canada's kind of ruled the roost for all this time. They haven't been best in best in a long time. The game's in Canada. You've got the political environment if you need it at all. I don't know if it played any part in what the players did on Saturday, but certainly it was emotionally charged. And so I'm on the road. I'm in Canada. Team USA, first time wearing the sweater, all that stuff. Like, let's go. We want to send a message. You don't need to do that, I think, at home, and I don't think Canada would be smart to want to try to match it at all.
Especially in Boston. If maybe right. It was another building, if they're in Hartford or someplace, or, you know, then it might be different. But I don't think you want to get those fans riled up.
How bummed out do you think it is for Tage Thompson to have gotten the call? And, I mean, I'm sure he knew what the lay of the land was and how likely it was that he would even get a chance to be in the lineup. Doesn't look like that's going to come to fruition for him. But, you know, kind of a bummer. He went. I was maybe hoping that was, you know, meaning that somebody was maybe in more doubt for tonight. But it doesn't look like he's going to get a look at it.
Well, I was reading that the flu bug was hitting Team USA also, and that's one of the reasons why he was there. You know, you look at that, and you're right. He would go pretty much knowing he's not probably going to play, but you never know. So he's living on the never know.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, that'd be awesome. Hopefully it somehow can work out. You know, you don't want to wish injury, definitely. And Tage Thompson is not the type of person that would be wishing injury on anybody, but if it happens, he's saying, you know, if somebody is sick or somebody is hurt, you know, he's saying, I'm ready to go and I want to go. So, but I would, yeah, he's a smart guy. I mean, he knew going into it that there was a very, very big long shot. But, hey, you might as well go and see what happens.
Paul, how much have you been following this McAvoy story about, like, how, he suffered an injury and then there's an infection and there's been some reporting that indicates that it was, you know, a shot of some kind maybe to get him to play on Saturday night and that maybe wasn't administered properly in the Bruins. It was very noticeable to me anyway that the Bruins announced he's out for the rest of the tournament. That was the Bruins, not Team USA. That was interesting. It seemed like the Bruins maybe had issue with how McAvoy was handled.
According to Elliot Friedman, they had a big issue with it, and they're not happy about it to the point that next time they want, you know, there's a big push now for doctors to be independent, not from a team. Elliot said the team doctors are from the Minnesota Wild because the GM is Bill Guerin, the GM of the Minnesota Wild. So they are not happy with the way it was handled whatsoever. And I think the reason the Bruins took over is it was probably very obvious McAvoy is done with Team USA for the rest of this tournament, and it was then that he's not playing. So we're taking this over. He's our player, and we're taking this over. He's not going to play. He has no chance of playing for Team USA anymore. So it's now our thing. So that's probably why it was taken over. But Elliot is reporting that there will be changes because of this, and the Bruins are furious.
With the way that happened, and I guess you could even go back to the very first game of the tournament when Theodore got hurt for Canada and is now out, I think, in the rest of the regular season for Vegas. Have you thought at all about GMs or owners complaining about losing star players in a quote-unquote exhibition tournament, and could that gum up the works moving forward?
No, I think, well, this is the NHL, so I suppose it could. But you have to have hockey like this to sell the game. You have to. And you got J.J. Watt tweeting out, that this has brought so many new eyes to hockey, and he's just like crazy psyched up about it. And it has brought eyes to hockey, and I think you have to look what's best for the betterment of the game. If you're an owner of a team, you're not up for this, especially with the chance you could lose a star player, because who's playing? All the star players,
right?
So if you lose somebody, you're losing a big part of your team. Like, I remember reading as a kid, when the Canada Cups and Gretzky was centering LaFleur and Perreault, and it was like Scotty Bowman said it was the best line he had ever seen, and he's seen some good hockey, and Gilbert Perreault was the best of the three playing left wing, and he broke his leg, and he was not available to the Sabres for a while because he had broken his leg for Canada.
Yep.
That kind of stuff does happen, but I think for the betterment of the game, everybody's got to back off and let this happen.
I want to be in that camp for sure, but it does – I just want to point out, to be totally honest and fair about it, like if Rasmus Dahlin – and the Sabres were in a wild card spot and battling for a chance to end this drought, and something happened to him at this tournament – I think a lot of us might feel differently. I'm not speaking for you. I'm just speaking for myself. Yeah, like there'd be.
I can honestly say I would say the same exact.
Yeah, I want to definitely be there, and I hope we're all together come in the future that we have to deal with it. Not that somebody gets hurt, but that the Sabres are in a playoff spot and their star players are going to play in a best on best tournament, be it Olympics or World Cup or whatever. All right, Paul, we just got about 2 or 3 minutes left. The Sabres are back at work. I think today was a day off. They've got the Rangers on Saturday at 5:30. Interesting start time. But they were back on the ice on Tuesday and Wednesday, of course, minus the guys that were at the tournament, Joki Haru, Lukanen, and Dahlin. Anything major to report? Or minor, for that matter.
Well, they were there. It was just a day off for the media. The media was not invited because they were not out. Other than Dahlin and Joki Haru, who would be making their first appearances, they weren't on the ice.
I see.
And when the team's not on the ice, we're not there. Most times when you see a day off coming out of nowhere, the team is there, but they're meeting and they're lifting weights, and then the media is not there. We're there when they're on the ice. We had inquired we know it let at least two guys are going to skate. Could we come and just talk to them? And they said, no, it's
okay.
Team's not skating. Lindy had said yesterday that he was going to keep them off the ice, but they were going to do off-ice stuff, weightlifting, that kind of stuff, and meeting. So we knew, after Lindy talked that was going to happen. So they were there. It's just after practicing them over an hour for two straight days with another practice coming on Friday, he wanted to get some off-ice training instead of on-ice training.
Okay, and what's the state of things here? We got some guys coming back that haven't been around in a while, maybe Greenway most notably.
Yeah, Greenway's still on track, so he'll play on Saturday. Samuelson is back. He said that he broke a bone in his foot blocking a shot late in that game against New Jersey, but he's fine. He practiced both days, said he's feeling fine. It was a small bone, and it was something that wasn't going to keep him out long term, so he's ready to go. So really, Kozak was on the team when the team ended, mm-hmm. but he has since been injured in Rochester and is week to week. So he's out. I don't know if it was in the fight he got in or right before the fight when there was a knee on knee. But he does have a lower body injury. So even though he's not, he was sent down during the break. So he's not really on the Sabres roster. But if
gotcha.
You're going by who was when the last game was played, he is not. He no longer is available due to injury.
All right, Paul. Thanks a lot for this. We'll go over all of what happened tonight, tomorrow, when you join me at 4. Thank you for this, man, and enjoy the game.
Talk to you then. Take care.
That's our dude Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. His appearances here are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Departure from the hockey conversation. We'll get into some football with Spencer German from our Cleveland Odyssey station talking about Myles Garrett and trade ideas. I'm going to run my Greg Rousseau idea by him. So stay tuned for that. That's on the way after this. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.